Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, August 4th, 2019.
Love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Faith comes by hearing the word of God. First reading is from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of all vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all that I have, for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. Also, this also is vanity and a great evil. What has man from all the toil and striving of heart which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This is also a vanity. There is nothing better for a person than he should eat or drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, and for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This is also vanity and striving after the wind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is from Colossians, verse 3. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, that is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks Thanks be to God. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 12, beginning with the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the appointed gospel lesson which was read to you earlier. In the name of Jesus, who is our true treasure, dear Christian friends. Some years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit Japan while our daughter was a volunteer missionary there. Of course, we got to see the high school where she taught English to Japanese students and the church where she did volunteer mission work. And an extra part of that trip is that she had been there long enough to know the Japanese language and how to get around in the country is that she took us on a tour through Japan. We got to eat at the local places, we got to stay at the ryokans, and we saw the shrines and other highlights, even in being in Hiroshima. On the very time when the anniversary of the dropping of the A-bomb took place. But one morning we had a problem in which she arranged for us to go to a church service in Kyoto, and it was about 8 blocks to get to the train station and go on to the next place. But the church service went a little long, and suddenly we were pinched for time. Now, that distance of 8 blocks would have been okay had we not had luggage. And can anybody know how much women can pack into a suitcase? When you carry one of them, you know. But anyway, there was high humidity, and to carry that far, the legs began to ache, you sweat, your arms ache, and we managed to get there on time. Well, this business of being overloaded, we might call it, with luggage and trying to move and travel has a good spiritual lesson for us. Here we are on a journey through this world on our way to eternity. And while we need our suitcases for the basics of life, such as food, clothing, house, medicine, and all that, yet we don't want our suitcases to become so heavy that they impede our journey toward our eternal home. Nor do we want them to be the kind of distraction, instead of thinking about our goal that we heard from the children's lesson that awaits us, that we get totally absorbed in our material things so that we become very secular minded, that nothing exists outside our own little world. You get up, you eat, you drink, you sleep, you eat, you do your work, you have pleasure and all that sort of thing, and think that that is all there is. Well, that can happen to us human beings. And I'd have to, and sad to say that it is happening with many people today. They're living without reference to God, without knowing his full grace and forgiveness, and without planning for any kind of day when the Lord will call them from this life. Well, we see this happening in our text. One day Jesus is preaching, teaching people, and no doubt he has the words of life there. But in the midst of that, a man comes to him that has only one thing on his mind. And we know what it is when he says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Evidently, in that family, the father died, and somehow the brother was able to get all of the inheritance. So the brother talking here didn't get anything. And that wasn't right. We have courts that settle this sort of thing. And in biblical times, a rabbi was often even called upon to negotiate the problems that people had. And therefore, it really surprises us when Jesus deals so harshly with this man. You heard what he said, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" Now, why did Jesus answer him like that? I almost feel sorry for that fellow. He's having a problem. His brother's not giving him any money. And then he goes to Jesus, and Jesus treats him like, "My word, you said the wrong thing. I don't even want to be listening. You're way off base," and that sort of thing. But why did Jesus answer him like that? I believe that the Lord was in the midst of preaching and offering people rich spiritual gifts. He was opening the kingdom of God to them to enter. And here is this man, totally absorbed in his own little problem, not open at all to what Jesus is offering to him. That man was so concerned about his earthly suitcase that he was in danger of missing the spiritual gifts. And so Jesus rightly issues a warning to him. Don't become so attached to earthly things that you lose the things spiritually. And that's why Jesus said to him, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." And to underscore this point even more, Jesus tells a parable. "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." Now that sounds like a rich blessing. What farmer doesn't wish when he puts the seed into the soil that it will grow and produce abundant crop? What farmer doesn't wish that there's going to be a good harvest at the end of the growing season? However, it's one thing to get a good crop and a good yield on the grain and all of that, and it's another thing to see what it does for us. This sounds like we say a rich blessing. And the man probably worked hard as a farmer to get the seed sowed and to get the harvest in and everything. But now let's see what's happened after he gets the big harvest, after his suitcases are completely packed. Well, when he's confronted with the situation of having an abundance of material things, that kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? That even over our forefathers, if we were honest, say, how many things don't we enjoy? How many comforts don't we have? And so looking at those things, or the rich man looking at what he had, he talks to himself. And this is what he says. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. We heard what the gentleman say, that maybe Jesus was thinking of retired people who all their lives strive to get as much as they can, and hopefully at the end of their life they have everything provided for so that they can be on easy street. That one hit home with me. Well, anyway, this rich man thought he had it made in life. But did you hear what God called, what Jesus called him? A fool. A fool. One who didn't use his brain. One who didn't figure everything out in life. One who had a chance to do the right things in his life, but he missed the main thing, what life was all about. He had a chance to hear God's word in his life. He had a chance to share material wealth with people, but he centered it on himself. Notice what he calls what God gave to him. He called it my crops, my grain, my goods. And then when he looks into the future, he doesn't see the day when his earthly life comes to an end and he has to give it all up. No, he looks at only what he's going to have with all this now that he has. He doesn't look into an eternity at all. And so what does he say to himself? Enjoy. Eat it. Drink it. Be merry. You see, he didn't realize he had a soul. He didn't realize that everything that you pack into that suitcase in this life, you're going to leave it behind when death calls you. And sad to say, that's true for all of us. How easy it is to become so occupied with the mundane, every earthly things that we miss out on things eternal. One of my theological journals has an article on how things have changed in the world today. Back, even 20, 30, when I started the ministry over 50 years ago, God seemed to be around for most people. They spoke more about him. And he was referred to more often. But this article points out that things have changed. It seems that God has pretty much been pushed out of the world, out of the picture. And you see that, for instance, in science. The prominent scientific thinkers have no room for a God who created. Everything is done by natural laws, and even our existence came into some other way than God creating it. In the same way with people's lives, and I don't know how that happens, that people begin to live in such a way that they sleep at night, they get up in the morning, they do their work, they spend their money, they entertain, they enjoy things, and on and on and on, and they do that without reference to their being a God. And how sad that is, because to cut ourselves off from God is mean to cut ourselves off from life. And what are we left with? You heard the reading from Ecclesiastes, the man who evidently was quite rich and gained a lot, but it was a bunch of trouble for him because he had to worry about keeping it, he had to worry about who was going to get that, and after he got it, it didn't give him the happiness. This eat, drink, and marry idea isn't going to always work out, I can assure you, because the world brings sorrow and trouble, and often these things are taken from us. So that's what happens. We think we gain everything by gaining things for ourselves, but in the end, as Ecclesiastes says, we're going to lose them and give them up. And so we see that in our world, and we see that in people's lives, that they live as though God does not exist. And that's why preachers, in this article says, they got a special task. They got to bring God back into the world. They got to bring people to the Lord. They got to help people realize that this secular business of living life without God just doesn't work. And it isn't true, because this is God's world. We believe he made us and everything in it. And the world moves by his power and his direction. And of course, above all, we know that this world has been visited by a very special person, and that is Jesus Christ. becoming one of us, living our lives, teaching us, and more important than that, dying for our sins. And then through the Spirit, raising us to new life that we might have faith. Meaning, we enjoy things in this world. Kind of like it in that dire thing with Ecclesiastes. When it comes toward the end of the lesson, you notice that? That it was important that we enjoy the gifts that God gave us. We're not people that pessimistic look at and we can have no joy. These things are given to us in joy. But let's keep our priorities right. That what we enjoy is there, but then we always let God be first. And we remember his spiritual gifts and his good gifts to us. And we get that. And I believe you are here this morning and you are given a testimony that God is still around. You are given a testimony that God is important in your life. You're given a testimony that God has given you special gifts. You're thankful for the earthly things. You treasure the spiritual things. You're putting your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have, and I can say it, the best of both worlds. You have the best of this earth that you enjoy God's gifts, and you have the best of the world to come when we go home to be with Jesus in that new earth and that new heaven. In closing, I would like to retell the story of the rich man and his bumper crop as we hope it will be told or said of a Christian. This is how it goes. There was once a believer whose fields produced abundantly. So he thought to himself, thought deeply about it, and then he said to himself, God has given me this bountiful harvest. And so I say, it's his crops, his grain, his goods. So first of all, I want to thank him for giving them to me. I want to thank him for my eyes, ears, bodies, all my senses and all of that, and how he has blessed me in this life with the physical body, and how he has blessed me to be a manager of his goods. And I want to return a portion of what he has given to me as an offering. And I want to help and share with the needy in the world. And I will though ask him that he will ever keep my priorities in order, so that as while I enjoy the earthly things, I will not forget those rich spiritual things that he has given to me. Faith and hope and peace and the treasure of Christ and the assurance of everlasting life. And so, whenever that call comes for us, for me to leave this world, instead of being called a fool, I will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. And God grant that to all of us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.
Heaven is in my heart. The
my inheritance. Heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart. We are a temple for His throne. Heaven is in my heart. And Christ is the foundation stone. Heaven is in my heart. He will return to take us home. Heaven is in my heart. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Heaven is in my heart. Heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.